Welcome one and all to the Damage Report. I'm John Ederle, very lucky to be joined on this fine Thursday by Waz. Wazi Lambre, contributor to Rebel HQ. Welcome back to the show.
What's up, my brother? Happy to be back. Super excited about the work we're about to start doing with Rebel HQ. We're starting that next week, so everybody should be on the lookout for that.
Okay, so not to put you on the spot, because I know it is next week and God only knows what will happen between now and then. Do you have any idea what your first piece for Rebel HQ might be, or a general idea of the sorts of things you want to contribute to Rebel HQ?
I think you should count on me making fun of several things related to our politics. We're going to try to have fun, try to have a few laughs. There's enough dour, sad, tragic stuff happening in the world as it is. I think our role is going to try to be to bring some levity to some of this stuff.
Okay, and you know what? I think we should do a test run of that role here on the show today, because this is the Damage Report. And so you might think that we do a lot of dire, sad stuff, and sometimes that's true. But we also try to have fun, and so Waz, bring the fun, buddy. Anyway,
I'm ready.
Thank you, everyone, make sure to not call
the fun police, please.
No. We're not.
I am still black.
We're not going to be having anyone investigated for a joke or whatever. We're just going to have some fun. By the way, can I say, if you're on the podcast, you are missing. I think this camera is actually starting to work here. As I'm about to transition out of the shed show, it's not that the lighting is perfect and everything, but I think it's not that bad. Maybe I need to get sick more often. But anyway, very excited to do a breakdown of the news with you, Waz. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you're on a platform that has likes or sharing or whatever, that would be great, because most platforms have an algorithm that's supposed to notify people when things go live, but that doesn't work anymore. So if you could help us out by liking the video, that would be great. And if you want to send us any tweets, comments, super chats, all that, we'll respond to your comments, questions, and concerns as they arise. But Marissa, behind the scenes, are we ready to go? We're good to go. Well, then we should go. Let's jump into this video.
Doesn't know what on earth he's doing, or at times where he even is. And that's the angle.
Make it stop. It's awful.
It's awful. Yes, those two videos that you saw and Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson are awful. Appearing to show President Joe Biden wandering around having no idea what's going on. You can't watch that, but think that maybe there's something wrong with him. He can't be president. Why isn't someone helping him? But there's actually a different reason that we are playing this. And that is that I want to play a game that I am calling BS reason to criticize Biden, good reason to criticize Biden. You'll be shocked to find out that that's an example of the former. Why? How could that be BS? I mean, we watched the video. He's wandering around. You can't deny. Are you claiming that it's a deep fake? No, but I am claiming that you've been manipulated. And the first clue would be, if you knew where these came from, Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson got them from a Twitter account called RNC Research. So you could see the first there, literally no one wants to talk to Joe Biden. Ha ha ha, he's not popular and people don't like him. They don't want to talk to him. That got 11,000 retweets, by the way. 11,000, that video. And the second clip you saw from Tucker Carlson, that was in this tweet. This is so sad. That one got 24,000 retweets. This damning proof that Joe Biden has no idea what's going on. And they weren't the only ones to get in on the action. Newsmax, they ran Chiron saying President Obama 2.0. And somehow they called both Biden and Obama beta males, even though in the video it's being portrayed as if Obama's ignoring Biden. I don't know. They also explicitly on Newsmax said that they would go for the 25th Amendment based on that. But as I said, this is all BS. And here is why. Take a look. Asin on Twitter did an awesome just giving us the next few seconds of each of those videos. And here's what actually happened. Not quite so dramatic, not quite so spicy, not quite so, oh God, we gotta get the 25th Amendment. In the first video, he was wandering around looking for Deb Haaland. And when he found her, he brought her up on stage. In the second, it wasn't that nobody would talk to him. He was just waiting for Obama to finish a conversation so he could introduce him to a specific person, Waz. So I apologize if I've spoiled the fun, I guess. But if you just didn't cut it at a suspiciously weird point, there's not that much to go to freak out about in these videos.
Yeah, and I gotta admit that I fell for the fake out because of my own prejudices and biases. Because I do remember the 2020 campaign where Biden didn't seem always like he was the sharpest tack, if you get my drift, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
I do.
His team kept doing everything they could to keep him away from media. So I was like, yo, is something wrong with this guy, i.e. Ronald Reagan in his second term? But whatever. I was just like, is something wrong with this guy? And so I did fall for the fake out. But I will say this, and during Biden's presidency, he's been way more lucid and sharp and on top of things than I gave him credit for probably having the capacity to be. So I'll take the L on that one. I definitely am still carrying those deep-seated campaign 2020 biases.
Yeah. Well, look, let me be clear about what I'm criticizing and what I'm not. I'm criticizing the RNC research, obviously intentionally editing this video to give someone an impression that they don't. What I am not saying is that there's no reason to be concerned about Joe Biden or that he hasn't lost a step or that he's not lower energy. All of that is perfectly valid. But what they just did, what two separate shows that have audiences in the millions on Fox just did, and Newsmax, which has got to have 10 or 20,000 or whatever, what they just did was give people BS, shallow, surface level reasons to not like Joe Biden. Now, why would they do that? Well, first of all, because it's easy. It's very easy to put together those clips. It's very easy to script a little like, oh God, make it stop moment. It is harder to put together a policy-based reason, not impossible, we do it on a daily basis here, a reason to have a problem with Joe Biden. But also, it's because they don't want to criticize him on the legitimate reasons to criticize him, because they agree with him in a number of different ways. And I'm gonna demonstrate that. First part of the game was BS reason to criticize Joe Biden. Well, now let's jump into the perfectly valid reason to criticize Joe Biden. But it starts off from a point where you might actually be with Joe Biden. Take a look at this video.
That's what unions are about, in my view, about providing dignity and respect for people who bust their neck. That's why I created the White House Task Force on Worker Organization Empowerment, to make sure the choice to join a union belongs to workers alone. And by the way, Amazon, here we come. Watch. Watch.
Oh, damn, watch. Amazon, here we come. Biden's in the house. We're coming for you, Amazon. And people were excited. Why wouldn't you be excited about that? I do want to come for Amazon. Phrasing. Bernie Sanders was exciting on Twitter. He tweeted, President Biden is right. Amazon, here we come. Let's get every Amazon worker in a union. And so, wait, why is this a good reason to criticize him? John, you're being unfair. He's speaking out in favor of unionization. Yes, he is technically doing that. Unfortunately, the linear flow of time continued after that statement. And that is when politics got involved. So according to Olivier Knox on Twitter, senior Amazon executive Jay Carney, who was Joe Biden's communications director during the Obama administration, began emailing Ron Klain, and lobbyists got involved. And then all of a sudden, it went a little bit less away from the area of like, yeah, we're gonna get Amazon, to the nuance and the weakness and the backtracking. And take a look at that.
Can I ask, President Biden today told union members, Amazon, here we come. Was he endorsing the efforts of union of workers to unionize Amazon facilities?
What he was not doing is sending a message that he or the U.S. government would be directly involved in any of these efforts or take any direct action. What he was conveying is his longtime support for collective bargaining, for the rights of workers to organize, and their decision to do exactly that in this case. Something that he has long supported broadly over the course of his career.
Okay, so it started off with, look out, Amazon, we're coming for you. Yeah! And now it's, he broadly supports when workers want to unionize. We're not involved. We're not saying anything, and we're not coming for Amazon, but it's okay. I don't know, Waz. It started off exciting, and it quickly, like the lobbyists got involved. And they were backpedaling, and now it's weak as hell.
Look, I'm not gonna lie. When I saw that clip that of Biden delivering to those union members, I got a little bit emotional. It was nice. Pretty cool to see him, like, you know, get behind that effort in a way that, quite frankly, man, if you look at some of the major Democrats in both the House and the Senate, it's been basically crickets about that Amazon unionization effort in Staten Island, which ended up being a victory for the workers. So I will say that, but this is what I will say that's most important. Joe Biden's NLRB, they threw out that first Bessemer, Alabama vote and was like, Amazon did some chicanery, some cheating. They're gonna have to have another one. This vote is much closer. They're still counting ballots. I think in ways where he could sort of, or his administration could put their thumb on the scale in favor of unions, they've tried. And I think that clip, honestly, is just the beauty of Joe Biden is that he's unpredictable and he goes off script and he will be off the cuff sometimes. And that's what happened with Amazon. I think he genuinely wants to see Amazon become unionized.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe I am being fair in the end. Maybe Psaki's trying to be really defensive. Psaki's fielding these calls from Carney and his cronies and all these. Maybe Biden is a little bit more, but, and you're not wrong. There have been places where they've gotten a little bit more involved, or those efforts have been taken during the Biden administration. I just saw earlier today, one of the heads of the NLRB put out a memo calling for increased oversight over these, like, you know, captive audience anti-union meetings, like basically trying to stop corporations from being able to get away with having those. And so that's good. My point generally, though, even if it might not be 100% accurate in this case, is it's the backing off and the not.
Yeah.
It's not being brave. And overall, my point about Fox is, like, they're not gonna criticize him as being insufficiently pro-labor like we just did, because they don't want him to be pro-labor. Like, we can criticize him for going back on his promises to cancel student loan debt, but they can't really do that because they don't want him to cancel student loan debt. If he's not doing enough to raise the minimum wage, they can't really criticize him because they don't want there to be a minimum wage. They're continue.
And the right wing, to your point, John, you're so right, is they're so out of practice with how to attack labor. Like, back in the days, they knew how to do it. Like, it's vaguely Jewish and communist, and the mafia is involved with the Teamsters, and this is evil and boogie, boogie, woogie, woogie. You know, like, they're so out of practice with how to attack labor. They can't do it. Like, because their viewers would be like, wait, why shouldn't the workers unionize? Why shouldn't they get paid more? Why shouldn't they have a say in what goes on in their work conditions? They don't know how to effectively attack these people, because back in the days, we knew exactly how they were doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And that is why they're left in all these really difficult positions. Like you're saying, like, they're complaining that gas prices are going up because they're like, oh, that's like an easy way to seem as if I'm on the side of, like, the working
the
class.
Guy.
Exactly. Oh, so what would you like to do about it? Crickets. You don't hear anything. If you hear anything, it's boogie, boogie, woogie, woogie. But you don't hear actual solutions because they don't want to do any solutions. They don't have a problem with
that. It's not even that they don't have any. You're right. They don't want these things to be solved. This, all of this stuff is perfectly fine as is. But yeah, like that's been one of the most fascinating parts about Biden's presidency is like all of the stuff that they used against Obama, it just doesn't. It doesn't have the same sting. Like when they start talking about, oh, he's pro-immigrant. It's like, you know, the implications were obvious. It's like he's black, so clearly he doesn't belong here. Clearly he's down with the, you know, those crazy people that are crossing our borders all the time. Like they can't do those things to Biden because he's old and white. So it's like they're wrong-footed by Biden's existence.
Yeah, that's yet another form of white privilege for Joe Biden. It protects him from some attacks by Fox News. Yeah, it's insane. And so they have to, politics always have to be ridiculous and shallow. That's why they talk about tan suits and latte salutes and whether his like mind is gone and everything. Or the specific criticism that seem like they're policy based or just absurd. The idea that we have an open border, well, that's just not true. That seems like a substantive critique, but it's not founded in reality. And I get it. Like for some people, the shallower stuff can be fun. Yeah. But politics is about real stuff. And so I just say you should be able to demand a host that can do both. So we're gonna criticize Trump on the substance. We're also gonna call him ugly. We can do both of those things at the same time, damn it.
Anyway. Also, Jay Carney doing his back office dealings, and it's just another reminder of how like truly sucky Barry's presidency and his regime was. Like these guys have proven themselves over time to like really suck. John, I don't know. Like I'm just constantly reminded that like these people are just in the way of any meaningful progress in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We knew they were pretty bad during the Obama administration, but in the years since, so many of them have just become even worse. We're gonna mix things up because again, as we said, politics is about real things and it might not always be that sexy, but we're gonna do our best with possibly the most important news to come out this week. So let's jump into this video for A2.
Above 4 degrees, we're looking at a vastly different planet. Ice has vanished from both poles, rainforests have turned to desert, and rising seas reach deep into continents. There's nothing to buy, and producers have nothing to sell. Migrants force their way into the few habitable places left on Earth. Racial conflicts and civil wars are the inevitable outcome.
And that's just the beginning. Those are a few of the predictions of what the Earth could be like if we allow the average global temperature to reach 5 degrees Celsius over the generalized average that we had over the last 100 years. And it's something that you might want to be worried about. Remember that 5 degree number, because we're going to return to that in just a little bit. But the reason we're talking about this is because earlier this week, the third and final installment of the sixth assessment report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC report, you often hear that acronym, that was finally released. And there is some good news, but there's also some bad news. So we're going to start with the good news. And bear in mind, this was 278 scientists analyzing the results of 18,000 different studies and producing the best possible picture of the current state of our fight against climate change and how things can and might go down in the future. So first, the good news. It's limited, but it's here. The cost of a number of different types of clean energy as well as carbon mitigating technology has been going down. So you can see in this chart, you can see for both solar and onshore and offshore wind, as well as the cost of batteries for passenger electric vehicles, those have been going down significantly and the adoption rate has been going up. Now that's over the last 20 years, it's not just like a year or anything, but that's good news. And by the way, there's other good news for the future. The report made one thing clear, The Guardian says, the technologies and policies that are gonna be necessary to adequately address climate change already exist. And the only real obstacles are politics and fossil fuel interests. Those are the only ones, but you know, they're significant ones. And so that is why we get to the bad news now. So global carbon emissions continue to go up in this most recent report. You'll be shocked to find out. Take a look at this chart and you can see a bunch of different categories all still rising, including carbon dioxide from fossil fuel industries. That's a big part. You've got things like methane, nitrous oxide, as well as land use, forestry. So that's a combination of industrialized agriculture, food manufacture, wildfires, a number of different things like that. And that's not great. There's a little bit of good news hidden in there, and that is that the rate of growth of greenhouse gas emissions over the last decade was slower than it was in the preceding decade. But here's the big issue, and this is where we'll jump into our conversation. The report concludes that the chances of meeting the most aggressive Paris Agreement temperature target, that is 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming above pre-industrial levels, is slipping out of reach. And they do have advice and they do have warnings, Waz, but right now it's not necessarily the report we'd want to have.
Yeah, just another dire climate report. Everybody at home, drink. You know,
we'll
and that first video that you showed kind of illustrates why I think people over here, especially our, you know, the ruling class over here, has been dragging their feet. I think there's a feeling that they feel like the immediate effects are not going to touch rich people in the US. Like that migrant crisis, that's one of the blessings of being in America. We're all the way over here. It's like, won't touch us. Mm-hmm. Nobody's gonna be coming to our borders. And you know, again, like the people who are gonna be affected most immediately are the most disaffected people in the world, like the poorest people in the world, the people who have the least amount of political voice, resources, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the main reason why maybe my own hypothesis as to why people are dragging their feet over here about this. They just don't think it's that dire for them specifically. Yeah. Like when they see stuff like that video you just showed, it's like, oh, Africa, Middle East, who gives a damn? Who cares? That's not gonna reach Martha's Vineyard.
That's a great point. And that is the fear. The issue is that there's delay in you get the actual cause, and then the effect might take a bit. And so by the time it is undeniable, it might be too late, at least to stop that level. Now, I would argue we're already seeing more than enough evidence of how devastating this can be. And one of the reasons I included portions of that video is if you were a right winger, maybe for some reason you don't mind the fact that the coastlines are going to be swamped and major cities are going to be inundated with the ocean. Maybe you're not worried about that. Maybe you're not worried about a difficulty in us being able to produce enough food to feed our population here in the US. But did you hear what they said in that video? Migrants are going to be moving from country to country looking for somewhere to stay. Are you terrified of that at the very least? Can we at least use the American predisposition for xenophobia to get people to care about the climate crisis? Perhaps not. But anyway, look, they offer warnings. They say that greenhouse gas emissions must peak before 2025 at the latest. Well, that's just a couple years away, so good luck. They must be reduced by 43% by 2030, 84% by 2050 to reach a goal. And that means global use of coal has to drop by 95% by 2050. That means you can only have a couple guys in big trucks rolling coal. That's basically all the tolerance you have for it. Oil by 60%, gas by 45%, which is going to be difficult. And one of the further issues is that while that 3,000 page report is available, it's being summarized by the news. You can take a look at it if you want. You can get access to all this information. There is a 63 page policymaker summary that's supposed to summarize the results of the report. But much of the criticism, specifically of the fossil fuel industry, just was somehow lost in the transition from the 3,000 pages to the 63, Wozni. So the actual advice to politicians about what to do, weirdly enough, isn't going to include an emphasis on doing something about fossil fuels.
Yeah, and our politics is so captured by these people. I'm sure you guys covered that Exxon exec where he was explaining the game, how they play it in Washington, that lobbyist where he's just like, let me get them in a room. You know, they get their contributions. They do this, X, Y, and Z. They play ball. We're good. We slow roll the actual science. We manipulate how it's presented and marketed in mass media. And we get to still roll in the dough. It's really sick what the fossil fuels companies are going to do. And it's, you know, it's hard to imagine that anybody in our politics would be brave enough to actually take them on in any meaningful way.
Yeah, that is definitely the fear. And so what I'd like to do is circle back to the beginning of the video, because if we can go to this final chart, you're gonna see that they also decided to talk a little bit about how this might go. And so I understand that chart's gonna be hard to discern, but you see as time goes by, think about those like maps of the multiverse in Marvel. That's basically what this is. It is possible futures. And the highest one, the brown one, that is 5 degrees Celsius by 2100. And of course, closing in on it decades earlier. So that apocalyptic Mad Maxian world that that video was like just as a hypothetical looking into, if we don't do what we need to do, there is a chance that that's the world that awaits us. And that's what we need to avoid. Okay, now with that said, we are gonna have to take our first break, but we are just getting started. Waz and I are gonna break down a lot of other stories, including on the other side of this break, Marjorie Greene potentially wants Jimmy Kimmel locked up for making a joke or something. And Joe Biden on the cusp of making a good move when it comes to immigration, maybe it's not gonna happen. We'll have that for you and more after this. Okay, now your news gets just a little bit more ridiculous, starting with this.
That are in the House, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. This woman, Klan mom, is especially upset with the three Republican senators who said they'll vote yes on Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's nominated for the Supreme Court. She tweeted, Murkowski, Collins, and Romney are pro-pedophile. They just voted for KBJ. Wow, where is Will Smith when you really need him, huh? Besides that being disgusting.
Okay, so that's Jimmy Kimmel implying jokingly that he wants Marjorie Greene to be slapped. We're gonna give our response to the joke in just one moment. Marjorie herself has responded, and I think she might be overreacting just a bit. She tweeted at ABC, this threat of violence against me by Jimmy Kimmel has been filed with the Capitol Police. So she wants the Capitol Police, who, by the way, a couple January 6th ago, she was fine with you beaten to death with flags and fire extinguishers and stuff like that. But now the ones who are still alive, she wants them to investigate Jimmy Kimmel over his joke, which he acknowledges the hilarity of by tweeting, "Officer, I would like to report a joke." Was it is a joke. That said, is it acceptable? Should he be canceled? Should he be locked up? What do you think?
Oh, it's more than acceptable. I mean, come on. I don't advocate for violence, but the level of violence that most people, especially right wingers, call themselves being cool about, namely like, you know, children being mowed down at freaking school. They seem to be like, well, that's just the cost of doing business of our God-given Second Amendment right. And to pretend that like a joke about a guy who slapped another guy, like it's just silly to me. And I gotta say on the record, we've done enough with Will Smith and the smack. And it's just like, guys, like this wasn't World War III. This was just two Hollywood elites getting after it, just getting a little grabby. That's all. Mm-hmm. Just regular stuff. Boys will be boys, John.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think Chris Rock died, actually. If that's how I remember it anyway. But anyway, look, but now it's, this is an interesting moment because I have a question for Marjorie Greene. Would you or would you not like Jimmy Kimmel to be canceled? You don't like the speech that he did of the free variety. You don't like his free speech. You want ABC to do something if the Capitol Police do not, or maybe both. Do you want him to lose his job? Do you want him to be thrown out of the building? Do you want him to be cast onto the street penniless because you were offended by the joke that he made? If you do, that's fine. I think you can advocate for whatever you want, but let's be very clear about what you're advocating for. You're very clearly advocating for cancellation, and not even just like the normal way that people are canceled, which is a couple of people tweet at them. Or in a couple of extreme cases, people might lose like a job opportunity. You want a comedian to be locked up over a thing that he said. So for all of those who claim that the right is pro-free speech and the left is censorious, I want you to just try for a nanosecond to integrate this undeniable fact into your worldview. I dare you to. I don't think you're gonna try very hard.
Also, she just needs a better social media team. Everybody knows the proper response would have been, you know, blonde conservative woman holding a gun saying, I'd like to see you come try it, right?
Yep.
Like that's what it would have just been the normal response. Like, I'll shoot you if you try something because I love guns and God and country and, you know, whatever. You know, pickup trucks, you know the rest, John.
Exactly. I'm surprised she didn't film a video of her like shooting like a printout of him from, you know, like
Day
or something. But she didn't. And well, that's good that she didn't for once respond with calls for violence, because generally she's there in that direction. Yeah. In the past, she's harassed a school shooting survivor, posted a mock-up pic of her holding a machine gun near members of the squad's heads.
Yeah.
She liked a Facebook post about executing Nancy Pelosi. She indicated support for executing multiple prominent Democrats in 2018 and 2019. And she also recently claimed that violence is needed to stand up to trans people. Violence is almost always the answer, except in regards to her. And I will say, look, I think he should be allowed to make whatever joke he wants. If you don't like it, you can criticize him. I wouldn't have made the joke. I'm gonna be honest. I don't think, like, there's already enough joking about violence in politics, and I understand it's about a slap and it's about Will Smith or whatever. But especially about female, like, I hate when Marjorie Greene implies violence against women of color in politics and all that. So I wouldn't do it. Maybe I'm the bad guy, but I don't think he should be locked up over it. I think we can all agree on that.
Wow, what a limp wrist liberal. You don't think somebody should get locked up over a joke? John, where did they find this guy?
Oh,
jeez. No, these people just need to get a grip, get a sense of humor about some things. And I think the world would be a much better place for it, to be honest.
Yeah. By the way, producer Marissa just put a great point in our shit thing. So in that joke, she complained about the slap thing. She didn't have a problem with being referred to as a Klan mom. She was seemingly okay with that. Oh, Skip apparently pointed that out. Thank you, Skip. She was like, yeah, now, I mean, you know, fair's fair, but the slap is going a bit too far.
John, anyway. Your down south is very, very good. I like it. I like it a lot.
I shouldn't do it. It's wrong with me. Again, I'm the bad guy. I'm even bad in critiquing myself, let alone other people. By the way, do we want to do this reset? Do we have time? Do we have time this week? We do have time. Okay, then let's launch directly into this.
The Democrats are the party of pedophiles. The Democrats are the party of princess predators from Disney. The Democrats are the party of teachers, elementary school teachers trying to transition their elementary school age children and convince them they're a different gender. This is the party of their identity, and their identity is the most disgusting, evil, horrible things happening in our country. And that's why we have to say it. We have to be willing to say it, and no matter how many little blue check marks get their feelings hurt on Twitter.
First of all, imagine how much she would freak out if they took away her blue check mark. But anyway, so Waz, they are the party of pedophiles. They're the party of princess predators, which is so far beyond. Like, I assume that's something on a right wing forum. Like, I'm assuming princess predators is a term that they use, that they're obsessed with. It does, like, I'm a rational, regular person, so it doesn't make any sense to me. But the Democrats' identity is being pro-sex predator and pedophile. This is, by the way, what we're hearing from basically all Republicans, elected and pundits. But she can always be relied on to give the most fumbling and bumbling and non-subtle version of it. And that, like, she's talking about the identity of the Democratic Party. She is also, let's be clear, the identity of the Republican Party. They all want to be more like her. And that's what that looks like. What do you think, Waz?
Yeah, clearly the inmates have taken over the asylum, right? Like, people like Mitt Romney, you know, that's why John Boehner had to quit. He was just like, look, like, I can't get any traction with these crazies. You know, the Romneys, the, you know, all of these sort of country club type of Republicans, like, they don't really steer the wheel anymore. They're kind of innocent bystanders, not innocent, but they're bystanders when it comes to the party. Like, people that back in the days, you would refer to them as the quote unquote lunatic fringe. Mm-hmm. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's not just that politicians like the Romneys, like the, you know, rest in peace John McCain and his horrible racist ass campaign from 2008. It's not just back in the days when those people were just, you know, they kind of had to pay lip service to what those people wanted, right? Mm-hmm. Now, like, these people are actually in the Congress. They're actually in the government now. It's not just that they're like this loud, crazy contingent that the people who actually run the party, the McConnells and them, they have to like at least pay attention to. These people are running the party. They're in the Congress. Like, they've taken over the entire Republican apparatus.
Yeah, you're right. And a few of the more regular, I guess, Republicans might complain about that from time to time, but they're not doing anything to actually.
Oh, they fall
stop
in line
it.
Every single time, John. They fall right in lockstep with these crazies.
Exactly. And I want to be clear to people. It's not like American politics. Like, if you're new, if you started watching our show or paying attention to American politics during the pandemic or 2016 or something, I know a lot of people did. It's not like before that politics was great and it was all just swell, chummy guys getting together and everything is great and there's no homophobia or racism or anything. No, all that was there. But I remember, like, you can, like with a tree, you can count the rings of my face. You know, I've been around for a little bit. She is, I think, objectively crazier than Rush Limbaugh ever was. Yeah. And Rush Limbaugh was not a senator or anything. He was off on AM radio, like just dog whistling to racists and all that. And yet she is so much crazier. She is arguably crazier on an average day than Alex Jones. And Boz is right. She, in theory, could write legislation. She gets to actually vote on things. That is how far we've come, how far we've descended in just a few years.
Yeah, and you know, some people would say you could trace the lineage of these type of folks to Newt Gingrich and what he was doing back in like 1995 during the first Clinton administration. And I think you would be smart to point that out, but it's just progressively gotten worse, you know, with the things that they get away with. And to your point, she's now just spewing the rhetoric of pizza gators of. Yeah. You know, that whole exercise with Ketanji Brown was just like, look, the Dems and Hillary, remember Pizzagate, they're still doing it. Now they're nominating judges who will let them get away with it. It's all of a piece of a narrative of, again, the part of the party that used to be considered the lunatic fringe, the storm front guys, the people that would actually call Rush Limbaugh on a day to day to complain about, you know, those damn Muslims. Now they're actually, again, at the levers of power, and they're actually wielding it. And you see it in how, you know, the people who ostensibly are supposed to be in charge or supposed to be the quote unquote grownups, they cow in fear of these people every single day.
Exactly. 100%. Okay, we're going to take the last break of the first hour a little bit early. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about the battle over Title 42. And then we're going to have a little bit of good old fashioned Schadenfreude as Trump goes groveling back to get back some of his disaffected followers after this. Donkey Teeth in the chat says MTG would be the first person writing legislation in Cran. And even then, it probably wouldn't be legible. Okay, with that said, we're gonna jump into some serious stuff before having a little bit of fun. So let's talk about this. One of the big battles with the Biden administration over immigration has been about Title 42. Now, Joe Biden has, for more than a year, continued this Trump-era policy that expedited the deportation, the removal of migrants over supposed public health concerns. Now, there has been rumblings over the past couple of weeks about a change in that. That Biden is finally going to dispense with that policy if he's allowed to. Because now we find out that 5 Democratic and 6 Republican senators will introduce a new bill on Thursday that would prevent the Biden administration from lifting Title 42 without a detailed plan in place to stop an expected surge of migrants at the border. And I'm sure they'll be very reasonable about that expectation. It's not in their ideological or electoral interest to pretend that there's some sort of massive war at the border that will never end. Anyway, if you're coming into this debate a little bit late, here's what Title 42 is. It's a section of the Public Health Safety Act that allows the US government to temporarily block non-citizens from entering the US, quote, when doing so is required in the interest of public health. And over the past few years, this policy has allowed US immigration officials at the southern border to rapidly expel more than 618,000 migrants. Now, from the very beginning, CDC scientists opposed the policy, arguing that there was no legitimate public health rationale behind it. But then Vice President Mike Pence ordered them to follow through with it anyway. And now some Democrats are worried that if we get rid of this, then the Republicans was, they're gonna criticize us. They're gonna say that the border is like in a terrible state, and then we might not win re-election. And so that's the reason they're giving for why we can't get rid of this policy. What do you think?
Yeah, unfortunately, this is just a cheap political trick, right? I think immigration is something that arouses the passions of a sizable amount of our fellow citizens here in the US. However, why this works politically is that like nobody actually cares the other way. There's no passion behind lifting this ban, right? Like there's nobody sitting at their house drinking coffee, reading the Wall Street Journal or reading their local paper who's gonna be like, heavens no, let the immigrants in even if they have COVID. Nobody's gonna do that. I think, you know, there are political issues that are hot buttons, right? Like if they tried to come out and say, hey, we're gonna take granny Social Security and Medicare away with this bill, people would be up in arms, they'd be in the streets, they'd be calling people, and they would have no choice but to back down politically. This, they're able to score some cheap points with xenophobic, quite frankly, pretty racist people. And also they know that the people who don't oppose this and have no problem with immigrants coming in don't really care. They're not gonna see this as something that makes them wanna vote against their politician or move them to, start some type of civil unrest. And so that's why you could see freaking cinema behind it. There's no political cost to it. We know she's the most weaseliest, most just gutless politician that we have on the Democratic side. So the fact that she's putting her name and face on it, that's how you know this is a BS PR political trick.
Exactly. The most weaselly, which I think makes her Ron Weasley, actually. But yeah, no, it's a total weasel move. To clarify one other way that it's a weasel move. Okay, so what is the argument that's being made? The right wingers are saying we can't get rid of this because if we do, migrants will come in and they will spread COVID, and that cannot be allowed.
Oh God.
Why? I thought COVID was a hoax. And even for those of you who don't think it's a hoax, you don't think we should do anything to stop it. You don't care. Like COVID's just the flu. So what's the difference? Plus, you've got ivermectin. So who cares if they bring in COVID? Think about it. Anyway, no, I'm on the side of the CDC scientists who say they're not spreading it. As Waz points out, they're tested anyway. Yeah. Honestly, if you're a migrant, I would hesitate to enter the US because you're probably gonna get COVID once you get here, honestly. We don't need you to bring it. We got our own supply and it's renewable.
Also, we could just vaccinate them when they get here.
Exactly.
We got extras. It's really that simple. We can just be like, look, guys, I know you're coming from El Salvador, wherever you're coming from. Hey, here's the jab. All right, keep it pushing. It's really that easy.
Exactly. Okay, let's have a little bit of fun at Donald Trump's expense by jumping in this video.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're gonna walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're gonna walk down, anyone you want, but I think right here, we're gonna walk down to the Capitol. And we're gonna cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not gonna be cheering so much for some of them.
You know, the ones that will kill, that will hang. We're not gonna cheer for them. But there, he was saying, I'm gonna put on my walking shoes and I'm gonna be with you. My devoted MAGA base, I'm gonna put on my red hat, I'm gonna put on a red tracksuit, and I'm gonna walk to the Capitol with you. Now, notably, he didn't. He told them to go and try to overthrow the government, and then he abandoned them to go have a Big Mac and watch it live on TV. It's one of the most hilarious, like, not even a cell phone, Because like he's just owning his own base. He's making a mockery of them. He abandoned them. And I think some of them at least have noticed that. So here's the thing. He is now finally, after all of this time, trying to address why it is that he abandoned them on January 6th. In this new interview, he tried to deflect blame, says he wanted to march to the Capitol. Specifically, here is his excuse. And if you're watching this and you're a big MAGA fan, you tell me if this is a good enough excuse. He says, the Secret Service said I couldn't go. I would have gone there in a minute. The crowd was far bigger than I ever thought. I believe it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken to, the largest crowd that's ever existed. This was a tremendous crowd, but it wasn't on me. I totally wanted to be there, but I had things to do, people to talk to, calls to take, and the Secret Service wouldn't let me. So let's be us. And also, by the way, he's supposed to be big alpha male, right? He's gonna let the Secret Service stop him from standing shoulder to shoulder with his devoted fans. Do you really believe that if you're a conservative? Waz, what do you think?
I just love Trump's cadence. I love watching him speak. He's like with the great senators and congresswomen and men, and we're gonna cheer them on. Well, some of them. I just love his cadence.
His
pettiness. He can never just say, all right, we know we have people that are with us and we're going to cheer them on. He always has to remember the people that have delivered perceived slights. He lives off of it. He feeds off of it. And even in the middle of this grand speech to his followers and his cult, he has to get in that. Well, some of them, John. That was my favorite part. But of course, he didn't take, you know, his big old hands and his big genitals to the Capitol riots, John.
I totally wanted to be there. No, Waz, you don't understand. I wanted to walk, but my massive genitals cause unbearable chafing. A walk of that length could possibly kill me. The skin would wear away, and blood loss would take down me, your favorite president. Are you believing this?
No problem in that department.
Exactly. I think it would have been totally fine. It would just been the whistling of pant legs. No friction besides that. Anyway, okay, that was fun. Let's have a little bit more fun as we launch into this video.
How do you all feel about the events of January 6th?
A lot of that was Antifa.
Really?
Yes.
Why would Antifa interrupt the certification of an election in which their candidate won? Wouldn't they want him to be certified?
They just want to disrupt in any way possible.
Do you think Antifa wanted him to be president? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yes.
Yeah. So why would they interrupt the certification of the vote on January 6th?
It
doesn't make sense, right? Like, why would they do that?
Well,
somewhere in a field in rural America, that guy is still trying to come up with a response. Anyway, that's The Good Liars. By the way, you should head over to TikTok and follow The Good Liars because they do both a lot of great work on their own and then also these interviews out in the field of Trump fans. Always a lot of fun. I wanted to cover this not just to point out the obvious lack of logic there was. I actually have a solution for it, but first I want your thoughts. That guy, like, I've heard people claim that someone's brain melted down, but that is the clearest evidence that it actually happened. I hope somebody put a cork in his ear, because otherwise the whole brain just dripped out during that time.
I gotta say, I see a little bit of myself in that guy, because oftentimes when in movies, right, people will be like, well, what do you think the film is trying to say? And I'm like, I don't know. There was explosions, there was guns, there were some hookers, some cocaine. I don't know what the movie's trying to say. I liked it. I will probably watch it again. I don't know. Like, I don't know what movies are ever saying. And I think that's what happened with this guy right here. Like, he's just like, you want me to explain some higher level stuff to you? Antifa did it. That's it. What more do you want? That's enough.
Come on, I listen to Fox News and Trump all day long. I'm doing the best I can.
Exactly.
But anyway, I am not just doing this to criticize the MAGA base. I want to free the MAGA base, and I'm willing to help the MAGA base. So here's the thing, man. It's not like it's an impossible question to answer. Imagine the good liars asked me that question. Well, but don't they want it to continue? All you gotta do is say, no, but that's what's so insidious about it. Antifa knew that the insurrection was never gonna actually succeed. They knew that they would get their preferred outcome. Biden would be the president. The vote would be certified. But along the way, they wanted to have their cake and eat it too. Not only would they get Biden, but also they'd smear the right wing, smear Trump fans by pretending that we're the ones doing the insurrecting. That is what is so insidious about Antifa. They did an insurrection they knew would fail, and we've got the video proof. There's your answer.
That's perfect.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it looks a little bit better than. Anyway, that's the best I got. Okay, everybody, that's the end of the first hour, but don't go anywhere because Waz and I are not going to be going anywhere. On the other side of this break, we're going to be breaking down a whole bunch of interesting stories, including two sports related stories that we chose especially for Waz. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.